So I'm going to recruit the two Freisinger boys to, I have sheets here for our kiddos, because we are a mixed class, and so you don't have to be a kiddo to get one of these. I only made 25 copies, though, and I'm don't have time to go make more. But it has some questions on it, has a little picture, so if you would hand these out to our to those who raise their hands, kiddos, and I guess some of our others that would like them. And then here's pens, too, if you need pens. You got those? Yeah, there you go. And you can just have the box. I do want the pens back. Okay? I want the pens back. Now, this is a Bible class. This is not a sermon. It is not a lecture. It's a Bible class. So please comment when you feel obligated to do so. Ask questions, and I'll let Ryan answer them. And we'll have a good study, I hope. So, came in today thinking that I was pretty prepared. Then Ryan told me that I had Psalm 23, and I had been studying Psalm 37. So I called Leon, and then quickly found the schedule, hung up on Leon. He probably tried to answer, and I hung up on him. I didn't hear him say hello, though, in my defense. And I have Psalm 37. Leon and I switched. We switched topics and we switched dates. So if you were hoping to have Leon cover Psalm 37, you're going to be disappointed. And I'm not sorry. So if you would turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And I'd like to ask anyone if they know who wrote this psalm. David. Kids, that's question number one, David. Okay? David, who is David?
He was a king.
He was a king. Very good. How long did David reign?
40.
Wow. You're on my team for trivia. 40 years. Okay? He reigned a very long time. Was the author at this time King David that we've already told you, which is the answer to number one? Was he a young man when he wrote this or an old man?
Old.
How would you know this? Boom. You read. Okay? If you want to know what the Word of God says, read it. Okay? So, question number two. The answer is what? Young or old? Caitlin? Old. Very good. All right. So I had Eric read the first three verses, and he was kind enough to read more than that as well. So I really appreciate that because I want to capture what this psalm is introducing. And so you do that by reading the beginning of the psalm. Okay. And we'll go over it one more time, but it says, "Do not fret because of evildoers." I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." Okay? So right here, if you were to read the whole psalm, which we will later on, we'll see this is the theme. Don't fret about the evildoers and their successes. Don't fret about it. Do we know what the word fret means? Worry is one definition. But if you went back to the original language, fret may not be the way we would interpret it today. It actually means to anger, to get hot, okay, to become furious. I thought it was worry as well, as of probably 2 hours ago, okay? Because I had this written up first time thinking about worrying, and we were going to cover, you know, where we're not to worry about tomorrow in Matthew chapter 6, I believe. You know, we're not supposed to worry about what we're going to have to put on for that day, because even Solomon wasn't as adorned as the flowers of the field, right? God's going to take care of us. So we can't add to our height by worrying about it, so don't worry. That's chapter 6, Matthew, okay? That's where I was going to go. And then I decided, you know, I'm going to look at the word fret. My vocabulary is terrible, so let me look at the word fret. And when I used my blue letter Bible, I went back to the original word there. It means to become hot, angry, or furious. So in reality, when you see evil succeeding, does it make you worry or does it make you angry? I have a lot more anger.
If you worry about it long enough, you will
get angry. Yeah. I get angry. When I see evil people doing bad things to others, makes me very angry. Maybe that's just the way my dad raised me. He you know, to stand up for those who are weaker, to not be a bully, right? Not condoning this, but when I was in elementary school, I did get in fights, but never did I start them. And rarely was it because of something that someone did to me. It was because of something that someone did to somebody else. Okay, so I have to deal with that in my own way. I can be angry and sin not, right? But in my youth, I was angry, and I just let it out. Okay? So right here, he's saying, don't fret about it. Don't get angry about it. Okay? So what's the answer to number 3, Kipton? Eh? What'd you say? Louder. Okay. No, that's not the answer. The word means anger. Okay? That's all right. Read the question. If you want to know what the question is, read it. If you want to know what the Bible says, read it. Okay? Thank you. Yes. Has to do with anger, getting furious. All right? So, according to those first 3 verses, Leon, are we supposed to fret or get angry about the work of evildoers?
Absolutely not.
No. No, we're not. Why? Why? I'm sorry? Yes, and Eric said, God will take care of it. Yours was verbatim. His was the no, like the conclusion. God's going to take care of it, all right? He's going to take care of it. And in taking care of it, what happens to those who do good? In the same verse. They get to feed on something. They feed on his faithfulness, okay? Okay? Can you think about that for a second? You think about a marriage. You think about how you probably know people that were unfaithful to their spouse. Or perhaps you have a customer that's unfaithful to you. And it really cuts you deep, right? You don't have to worry about that with God. You don't have to worry about it. You can actually feed on his faithfulness. There's so much there. You'll be fat. Fat on faithfulness. That should be our theme next year. Fat on faithfulness. All right. So, what do you think about the audience that David is trying to speak with here? What do you think their attitudes are right now? Why do you think he felt compelled to write this psalm? Maybe they're discouraged. What were you going to say, Drake? Maybe they're angry. Yeah. You know, they have the all. David, was David a king of peace or of war? War. Okay. A lot of enemies. God told him that war was never going to leave his house. Okay. Because of the sins that he committed. All right. And because of war, he was never going to get to build the temple. Why? Because he had blood on his hands. All right. You can go look it up. 2 Samuel, I believe, 1 Samuel, one of the Samuels. Read both of them and you'll find it. Okay? So, enemies everywhere. What do you think the people feel like? They're getting pretty tired of going to war, right? But you can't go to war lackadaisical, can you? You'll be dead. You'll be dead. You got to have a little bit of that anger. Maybe David, at this point in time, has people that are angry, want to go defeat these guys, and David's like, just, hey, we got to chill out for a second because we've been at war for a long time. Okay? I don't know. I don't know the answer. But what we do know is that he wrote it to an audience that he felt needed to hear it. Okay? The whole psalm kind of continues in this fashion and kind of talks about how the good will prevail, the evil will be cut down, and we get to verse 23 and 24, okay? So that's where we're going to focus now, verse 23 and 24 of Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Okay? So, if you're like me, and you're using what you thought your teacher taught you about certain words, like when someone orders something, what is that? What are they doing? You're in the military. When you give orders, what happens?
I was
thinking about a fast food order there. Yes. Same thing. You want that. You want them to do what you tell them to do. Right? Right? Well, in this is more of an adjective. Okay? And again, going back to the original language, Blue Letter Bible, great resource. Download it on your phone if you're not using it. It's fantastic. Okay? You can see that this word here means gives stability. Okay? God gives your footsteps stability and firmness. Okay? Firmness. And if you have a picture on the sheet of paper, if you got one of those, okay? What is the picture of?
A little boy.
A little boy. What's the boy doing?
Walking.
On? A rope is the answer. What's he doing? Tightrope, okay? Tightrope. Okay. So, for those who can't see the picture, he's like, walking on tightrope, okay? One foot in front of the other. What happens on a tightrope when you step out on it? Right now, it's strung straight across to your destination. But what happens when you step on it? Yeah. The heavier you are, the deeper that curve, right? Luckily for me, I'll stretch it to the ground and I'm firm. Okay? But it goes down, okay? What do we know about the circus and these tightrope walkers? Okay? What is the most amazing part at times when they're up there and they're doing their stuff, and then all of a sudden the announcer comes on and says, "Let's pull away that safety net," right? No safety net anymore. Do you think their confidence went up or they got more nervous? I mean, they do it all the time, but on a scale from being very confident to a little bit nervous, they're still more nervous, right? Okay. So you just got to remember what you're comparing it to. The status of that, what they were. Okay, if you were that tightrope walker, would you be more concerned about falling or less concerned about falling if there's a safety net? Less if there's a safety net. Okay. All right. So the way I look at it is, God doesn't allow that sag. He's got like a board. You're not walking a tight rope. You're walking something like a board. He gives you firmness, stability, okay? Confidence in the way you're walking, okay? So, the question I have on this is God controlling it? Like he's giving you orders and you have no choice but to walk right here? You're like a robot, okay? What's the answer to that one? No. Okay, so even if you tried to use the word like forcefulness, he is pulling you along, making you walk right here, it can't work. You have to remember that our English words and sometimes the original language, we do the best we can when we're translating. Okay? Now, they are defined, but they're not forced. The steps you're supposed to take are defined, but not forced. Okay? So, just like the tightroper sees the rope, knows what he has to do, but can always step off of it. Right? And he doesn't have to do it. He can say, you can have my paycheck, I'm out of here. Okay? So, answer to question number 6, does God control our footsteps? No! There we go. See, you can use your mouth. It's pretty cool. Okay? Alright, he does not control. We are not robots. Alright? So, at the same time, we see that in verse 24, though he fall, being the guy walking, the good guy walking, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. So when we start to stumble, does God grab us and push us to the ground and say, what are you doing? No. No, what does he do instead? He upholds us in his hand. Okay? Uphold. Uphold. What does that mean? He's pulling you back up. Okay? Getting you back on the rope. Or beam in his case, because it's stable. All right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the deal back is, Paul was very convicted about what he believed.
Oh, for sure.
And so it's neat how the Lord turned that conviction the other way,
Yeah. He says later on that he never bothered his own conscience. Everything he did didn't bother his own conscience, because at the time he really believed what he was doing was correct. The difference is he humbled himself.
The devil tempted Jesus in exactly the same way. That you cast yourself down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The angels will catch you, bring you back. They won't allow you to even dash your foot. Okay, so the question is here, so if God's not going to push us down, that means he's not going to tempt us. Is that correct or incorrect? He's not going to cause us to stumble. Is that correct or incorrect? Correct. How do we know this? I'll give you some verses, okay? James 1:13-14, okay? It's right there. Anyone who says that God tempted him is a liar. God does not, he cannot be tempted and he will not tempt, okay? Romans 14:13-23, it even talks about how Christians aren't to cause other Christians to stumble. So if we're supposed to be followers of Christ, Christians, Christ-like, Christ is God, did everything as God would have it be done, then why would he allow Christians to cause stumbling? He wouldn't. It's not Christ-like. It's not God-like. Matthew 18:6-7, Christ himself warns about causing others to sin, in particular children. In that situation, okay? In fact, it'd be better for that person to be thrown off a cliff with a millstone around his neck, right? So, there's some verses for you. All right, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, because my time is almost up. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We talked about being a good man, and God supports our steps as we're being good human beings. Okay, God will not cause us to stumble. Okay, we have to walk off the tightrope ourselves if we're going to fall. God doesn't push us. Okay, John, man, I know I was in 1 John. My pages turn on their own. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. Somebody read that, because I'm not there yet. We don't have time. Okay. Real quick, what is this passage trying to depict? Okay. Anybody?
Stay in the light.
God is light. We're walking. If we want to walk with God, we walk in light. Okay? Pretty simple. How does this relate to Psalm 37? Because what does light represent? Which is another word. What's another word for that? Starts with a G. Good. Because we're a good man, right? Psalm 37 says a good man has God's support. Not a bad man. A good man. Why? Because God's in the light, which represents what? Good. Okay? Represents good. Okay? Word of God is perfect. All the way through. It's amazing. Okay. So we know that God is good and therefore the light is good because he's in it. So a good man must also walk in the light, or should he walk in darkness? in the light. If he walks in darkness, he'll stumble, right? Darkness, if light equal is the symbolism for good, what would darkness be the symbolism for? Evil, right? Opposite of light is dark, opposite of good is evil, okay? So, number 7, should we walk in darkness or light? Light? Very good. All right. Is God in the light or in the darkness? God is in the light. All right. So, let's keep going. Go back to Psalm 37. Look at verse 24, okay? We touched on this a little bit. It reads, though he, being the man, the good man, falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. Okay? Shall not be utterly cast down. Can you think about that for a second? What would you do if you were utterly casting something down? Getting rid of it for good. I'm thinking in my brain, I'm standing on something tall. Yes, and I'm making this motion with a watermelon. I'm like that comedian that smashes watermelons, can't remember his name. Older, he died. I don't know. Anybody? Gallagher, thank you. Hey, you're that old? It's good. Okay? Threw it down, smashes these watermelons. Okay? That's what I'm thinking about when I'm utterly casting something down. I don't know why I went there, but watermelons are fun to, you know, make go everywhere. They're fun. So God's not going to keep pushing us down. We stumble. We may even hit our knee. Okay? But God is there, and he puts out his hand, okay, to help us back up. That's that word uphold, all right? Uphold. That means you're not holding down, you're upholding. You're trying to get back up, and God's got his hand there to help you. What do you have to do? You have to grab the hand, right? It's crazy. So simple. All right, here's where people mess it up. I'm sorry? Yes. And then what did he do? He reached out, right? No. No, that would have been an awful story. That would have been terrible. That would have been a terrible story. No. He reaches out. And Jesus was there ready. He was there ready to pull him back up. He scolded him a little bit, you know. But who cares? He's not dead. He's not drowning in that water, right? So, all right. So here's where people mess this up, okay? People try to blame God when we stumble. Jamie.
Sorry. I was going to say verse 39 in Psalms 37 is like a very mirror of that. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in a time of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the common theme. It's a theme to stay faithful because God's got your back. Don't get angry about evil sometimes succeeding. God's going to cut them down so quick, it's going to be fun. We shouldn't really keep joy in that. But at the same time, we know that in Revelation, the saints there are saying, when are you going to take vengeance? When are you going to do it? They're longing for it, okay? He doesn't scold them. He said, there's in time, okay? So to say that we're tempted by God is untrue. We already went over that stuff. So, here's the thing. Don't fret. Don't get angry about it. Trust that God's got your back. He's going to keep pulling you back up. His tightrope is not going to bend. Okay? It's a great tightrope. And he delights in the steps. Okay? It's not just that he makes them solid. It says that he delights in us doing it. Okay? So you know that we'll never leave his grace unless we walk away from it. Unless we change our steps. Okay?